Well, then, from the beginning, did you guess what the subject is?
Yes.
Come on.
Transfiguration.
No, I'll give you 7 out of 10 for that, then. Don't 7 out of 10. It is a transfiguration. But what I'm preaching on tonight, it is a transfiguration, yes. But it's this. Jesus only. Jesus only. That's what it says.
Yeah.
Jesus only. But let's just go through it briefly then. These three men, Peter, James, and John, are privileged to be taken by Christ up into this mountain. They had no idea what was coming. And what happened was this. It says in verse 2, as they were on this mountain apart, Jesus was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun. Think about that. I was driving tonight, the sun was shining in my face. Imagine with a wet road, the sun shining. Can't look at it. His face shone like the sun. And his raiment glistened white. When John saw Christ in the Revelation again, chapter 1, he fell at his feet as dead. When Paul saw Christ on the Damascus road, Saul of Tarsus, he fell. Now then, shall I tell you what I understand and can explain about verse 2? He was transfigured before them, and his face did shine as the sun, and his raiment was white as light. Would you like me to hear what I can tell you about that? Well, here it is. That's about as much as I know about this. It's a miracle. It's beyond my explanation. It's beyond anybody's explanation. In fact, it's almost a blasphemy to try to explain it. Miraculously, Jesus was, I don't know what to say, was transported into some, perhaps it was this heavenly state, I don't know. I don't think the writers of the Gospels, I don't think Peter, when he came to describe it, could find the words to tell us. It was like the sun, he said. It was a miracle. You see, I'm one of these odd people that I don't stand to explain the Bible. I can't explain the Bible. I don't stand to explain the creation. I can't explain it. I believe it. And I preach it. That's all. Jesus was transfigured. By the way, I hadn't thought about saying this, but there's an unbeliever listening to me. You've really got to come to terms with this man. Who is this man? I mean, this is just one thing. He can make the blind to see, the deaf to hear, the dumb to speak. He can shine like the sun. I can't do it, can you? Do you know anybody who can do it? Of course you can. But he did. Who is this man? Who is this man? I know what the Bible claims about him. Have you got a better explanation? It claims to be that he is Emmanuel. God. Bless him. God. Can I explain that? Of course I can't. Can I explain the incarnation? Of course I can't. It's a miracle. A supernatural, spectacular event. And Peter, James, and John, like Paul, remember he said, I was caught up to the third heaven. Remember he tells the Corinthians in the second letter. As I was caught up, he said, and I saw things I can't describe. Is this a picture of what it might be like in heaven for us, my brothers and sisters? Is it a glimpse through the window, through the curtain, as it were, just to see what it might be like? Jesus. But we are told we should see him. And we're told something even more when we should be like him. Well, there's a prospect for some of us then to be shining like the sun. Bright, there's a hymn there. Bright shining as the sun. There's a hymn somewhere, I think, of that. Yeah.
Amazing grace.
Yes, that's it. Thank you very much. I'm glad you came tonight. Amazing grace. But was it good when I've been there 10,000? Was it bright shining as the sun? Yeah. I wonder if Newton got that from here. I wonder. Yeah.
Yeah.
And then something else remarkable happened. Two men came. Now, how did these men, Peter, James, and John, how did they know that was Moses and Elijah? They didn't carry badges like they do in the shops today and in the offices. But they knew that Moses was there and Elijah. And they were talking. Now Luke tells us what they were talking about. They were talking about the death that Christ should accomplish at Jerusalem. We can stop there. I don't want to stop too long on these incidentals. They say they're incidentals, but they're wonderful, aren't they? I mean, how did they know it was Moses and Elijah? That's interesting to me. I wonder what language they were talking. I know what they were talking. They were talking Aramaic or Hebrew. How do I know that? Because they all understood one another. Peter and James and John understood it. Paul says expressly when he's giving his testimony, Jesus spoke to me, and he spoke to me in the Hebrew tongue. He didn't speak in gobbledygook. He's a real man, you see. Why did he eat fishes after he died, was raised? Eh? Touch me and see, he said. Unbeliever, you better come to terms with this man. Who is a man who can die on the cross and rise again and can eat fish afterwards? And speak in Hebrew. He's God Emmanuel with us, I'm sure. Yeah. I can't think of a better explanation. God incarnate. Was it Wesley said, our God incomprehensibly made man? Now, why Moses and Elijah? Well, Moses, of course, they're two of the stirring characters of the Bible. Two of the major characters of the Old Testament. Two of the leading men. But they're more than that. What is Moses? Well, Moses is the man, as an instrument, I agree, as an instrument, he didn't give his own law, but as an instrument, he is the man who gave the law to Israel. Now, some of you know that I have strong views about the law, and you might think that I'm sort of anti the law and everything else. But let me put you right here if you think that. The law of God was a blessing beyond estimate. God says, I have dealt with no other nation but Israel in giving them, and this is my chief blessing for them, to give them my law. No other nation have had it. And Moses is the man. How many times you get in the Gospels, oh, we're the children of Moses. We have Moses. You have Moses. Moses, Moses, all the time. Moses was the great man. Of course he was. He was the man that God used to give them the law. What a body of doctrine. It has its effect in the world even today. We have our law. Many of them are fashioned around that law, you know. Not all of them, I quite agree. But the principles of the law have come down. It marked Israel out. Moses is a great man. The law was given by Moses, said John. The law was given by Moses. Babylon hasn't got anybody like that. Assyria hasn't got anybody like that. I mean, Joseph Smith, the Mormon chap, supposed to have special glasses that he could read special plates that some Moroni or somebody gave it to another platform. But Moses was given the law of God. Twice, of course, because they broke it. I believe Muhammad is supposed to have some revelations. But I'll tell you what I think of that clap again. Moses was given the law. Moses. And Elijah. Now who is he? Well, he's, perhaps we say, the chief prophet. Although Jesus says the greatest prophet was John the Baptist. Ah, but he did say that Moses and Elijah, John the Baptist and Elijah, he had put them together. Anyway, Elijah surely stands for the prophets. What's this leading up to? Well, how many times the Bible tells us the combination of Moses, the law, the prophets, Elijah, and Christ. Over and over again. Let me give you a few places. Luke 24, when the disciples are on the Emmaus road and they're cast down after the resurrection, after the death of Christ and the resurrection, they can't make head or tail of it. They think it's nonsense. And they're really down in the dumps. They're really depressed. And Jesus comforts them. He warms their hearts. Did not our hearts burn within us, they said. Now, what did he do? Beginning at Moses and all the prophets, what did he do? He spoke of the things concerning himself. Christ in all the scriptures. Moses speaks of him. The prophets speak of him. Indeed, I would put it this way. that the great purpose of God giving the law to, through Moses to Israel, the great purpose of speaking to Israel through the prophets, I know there was immediate blessings for them and local blessings. I'm going through Jeremiah at the moment myself, and Jeremiah has much to say about the local situation. Zedekiah and Barak and these people, he's dealing with the locals. And Moses' law, of course, applied to the Israelites in their time, and so on, yes. But the ultimate purpose of the Moses revelation, the ultimate purpose of the sacrifices, the ultimate purpose of the temple, the ultimate purpose of the prophets was what? It was Christ. Christ. Christ in all the scriptures. I say this repeatedly, nobody listens, but if I was speaking to a seminary, if I was ever given the opportunity to address seminary students, what would I say to them? I would say, whatever text you take, however long you preach, make sure you preach Jesus Christ. Oh, he's not in my text. He is. But he didn't. He is, if you look for him. He's in all the scriptures. He's in all the prophets. He's in all the law. Moses, Elijah, round Christ. And what are they particularly speaking about? Luke tells us. They majored on this. They didn't major on his glory or his power or his grace, his kindness, and all that kind of stuff. They could have spoken of that. But what they majored on was his death. I didn't check the Greek out, but I think one of the versions, I think it was the Authorized, had the word accomplished there. I like it. Jesus accomplished his death. He wasn't put to death. That's a good question, that. Who killed Jesus? Nobody. Jesus gave himself up. Now, that's silly, but you understand what I mean. He voluntarily did. How willing was Jesus to die, said one of the hymns. How willing was Jesus to die? It's no accident that these two men were talking to Christ about his death. Oh, my friend, I hope this is preached today. I hope this is being believed and still being believed in the churches. I hope this is fundamental. We must have the blood of Jesus Christ preached. There is no salvation. There is no remission of sin without the blood of Christ being shed. We're not saved by Jesus' example. I don't know if I shocked some friends this morning. I was preaching this morning. You know, and I said, well, if Jesus is my example, then that makes me very miserable. Now, he is my example. Peter tells me so. I think there's one text. I can only think of one, but you might think of others. But there is one text which tells me Jesus is my example. And so he is. But you know, if that's all he is to me, I've had it. Why? Because he's perfect. I can't get there, can you? I can't. Let the man stand up who can do it. I don't know who he is. I can't do it. Remember George Washington never told a lie, but that was the first he ever told men. He did. Jesus is not my example primarily. He's not primarily my teacher either. He's a wonderful teacher. Never man spake like this man. I mean, you see me waffling on for hours and on end, but Jesus comes within a short sentence and he's got it all there. Tremendous. His miracles are fabulous, aren't they? They're spectacular. Look at his transfiguration. But it's not that, you see. It's not that. It's his death. If you don't know Jesus Christ died for you, my friend, whatever you know about Christ, you're still not yet saved. Until you know and have that Jesus is your Savior. That's what Elijah would tell you. If Elijah came tonight and preached, he would preach, look to Jesus. I know that. What did John the Baptist do? Behold the Lamb of God, he said, that taketh away the sin of the world. He said it twice. Behold, look. Look, the Lamb of God. The prophets are all speaking about Christ. Jeremiah, I mentioned just now, dealing with Barak and Zedekiah and Josiah and all, yes, Babylon, yes. But he's also dealing with this, Jehovah Sikeno. That's a bit Hebrew for you. What does Jehovah Sikeno mean?
Righteousness.
Christ our righteousness, the Lord our righteousness. What did he mean? When he talked about the branch and Jehovah Sikeno. He meant Jesus Christ. He didn't understand, of course. He was a prophet looking down the ages. But he knew one was coming, a Messiah, the Christ, some servant of God who would be the righteousness for his people. What's all that about? That's his life and his death on behalf of the sinners. You see, my friend, if you are in Christ, you're washed in his precious blood and you're perfectly clothed with his righteousness. Jehovah Sikeno. Remember Money McChain's hymn? Money McChain sang a hymn like this. Jehovah Sikeno meant nothing to me. Jehovah Sikeno meant nothing to me.
Yeah.
But when I knew I was a sinner and came to Jesus, Jehovah Sikeno meant everything to me. He's the Lord my righteousness. Can you say it, my friend? Is it yours? This is what Elijah and Moses are talking about. If you went into the tabernacle or the temple, and you saw the slaughter of the animals, the candlesticks and the altars and all the rest of it, and the priests there, what was it all crying out to Israel? A Messiah is coming who will bear his people's sins. When I was here last time, was it 2 months ago? What did I preach on? I preached on Abraham sacrificing the ram in the stead of his son. I'm glad that Jesus shed his blood in my stead, in my place. Condemned he stood. Sealed my pardon. Ah, that's a hymn like that. How about a prophet then? With his stripes we are healed. All we like sheep have gone astray. We have turned every one to his own way. And the Lord hath laid on him the iniquity of us all. Do you know it, my brother and sister? My brother and sister, you do. Do you know it, my friend? You can cry to Christ now. May my sins be washed away. And he will wash them immediately in the blood of Christ. There's life for a look of the crucified one. And this is what they were talking about. And of course they're talking so that Peter, James and John can overhear it. Because they've got to learn this. Because one day soon now, Jesus is going to die and he's going to go away from them. The Holy Spirit's going to come. And they'll be, not on their own, but they'll have to do the business. And what are they going to do? Well, Paul's going to come into the picture again. Of course, we know that from Acts 9 and his conversion. But what are these men going to do? Let's open our New Testament everywhere and you'll find them preaching Christ. Christ. Look at Peter. We were redeemed not with silver and gold, but with the precious blood. They get the message, all right. They know it. I stress that, my friend, because I fear that somehow Jesus had become a kind of buddy today or a friend. I don't know how to describe it. I'm just appalled at it. Is there much preaching of the sacrifice of Christ in my place and room? Because if I don't have a substitute in my place, if I'm standing on my own before God, I'm hopeless. Of course, Peter, and I like Peter because if there's a man in the Bible that I feel I'm closest to in some respects is Peter. He opens his mouth and speaks before his brain gets engaged, and I'm pretty prone to do that. He speaks too much, and I do, and he blurts it out, and he gets it wrong, and he makes some bad mistakes. So there you are. But I'll tell you this, when he gets it right, he don't have to get it right. He says some wonderful things. Thou art the Christ, he said. Men are saying this about me. Men are saying that about me. What do you say? Thou art the Christ. When they were all going away from him, when Jesus preached that searching sermon in John 6 to drive them away because the thousands were coming for the wrong motive, Jesus said, then will you also go away? Testing them, I think. Getting them to confess. But also, I think, as a real man feeling the loss. Even though he had designed it, he felt the loss, the hurt. He said, will you also go away? And what does Peter say? Go away? Where can we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. Where should we go? There's nowhere else to go. Of course, he would soon come to find, and he's finding here, that it's not just the words of eternal life. Jesus is going to die. That's what these men are talking about. Anyway, Peter, he puts his foot in it, and he blurts out. He says, look, Lord, it's good to be here. Let's make 3 tabernacles. We want to stay here. One for Moses, one for Elijah, and one for you. And what happens? Immediately, something happens to stop him. Why? Because he's got it absolutely wrong. Poor man. I'm not criticizing. I'd have been worse. I know he had the best of motives and the best of intentions, but the poor man saw it wrongly. Moses, Elijah, Jesus, we'll make 3 tabernacles, one each for you. And we can stay here forever, beloved. No, says God. And it was God who did it. He brought a cloud over. And then a tremendous voice. This is my beloved Son, in whom I am well pleased.
Hear him. When the disciples heard it, they fell on their faces and were sore afraid. And Jesus came and touched them and said, arise and be not afraid. And when they had lifted up their eyes, they saw no man. They saw Moses no more. No more Elijah. He gone. God has spoken in these last days by his Son. In the past days, he has spoken unto us by the prophets. In the past, he has spoken by Moses. But now he has spoken unto us by his Son. Hear him. Can you see the point that God is making to these three men? It's not the law anymore. The age of the law is gone. It's not the prophets anymore. The prophecies are pointed to Christ. The fulfillment is here. You know I have views about Christmas. But one of the sad things about Christmas is that the early chapters of Luke, I'll have to do it one day, the early chapters of Luke are not properly preached. The early chapters of Luke show the kingship of Christ. Read again Mary's song, Zechariah's song, Simeon's words, Anna's words. They've seen the Lord's redemption. They've seen the Lord's Christ. He is the King of Israel. But he's only a baby. But this is the fulfillment of the law and the prophets. What happened when Christ died? What happened in the temple? The veil was ripped, torn down. From top, not bottom, from the top. God was saying, the way is now open through my Son. Finished for all the Jewish sacrifices. The promises are now all culminated. Unto us a Son is born. Unto us a King is given. Child is given. He's the King. The government is upon his shoulder, and the increase of his government there shall be no end. Crown him with many crowns, the Lamb upon his throne. I have friends who question the kingship of Christ. And of course there are difficulties, because it doesn't seem as though Christ is king in the world today. And we have texts which tell us about the prince of this age and this prince of this world. So there are difficult texts and passages. I fully agree. But I tell you this, Jesus Christ is king. He says, all power is given unto me in heaven and on earth. And this is what God is saying to these three men. I know you've got good thoughts of Moses. Yes, the law was given by Moses. This is what John would write. He got the message. The law was given by Moses, but grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. Actually, there's no but in there. The but's been added. I don't mind the but. It doesn't need a but. The law was given by Moses. Grace and truth came by Jesus Christ. You see, poor sinners, they don't know much about the law of God. They hate it. But in reality, what they're trying to do is earn their way to God by good works in some way. What I do my best and all that sort of thing. They're really under law of some sort. Works. If only they realize that to come to God, you must come under grace, under truth. And that's Jesus Christ. I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. Philip said, well, show us the Father. What do you mean, show you the Father? I am the Father, if you like. The Father is in me. I'm in the Father. If you've seen me, you've seen the Father. If you come to me, you have it all. That's what God is saying to these men here. And look at what they say. I love the way they put it. And they saw no man save Jesus only. That's my subject tonight. That's the point I want to drive home. I was out with my daughter and her husband on Friday. They came to see me, and we were out for a walk in the village, and a lady in the village who's heard me preach several times was doing her garden there. She stopped and spoke, and I introduced, and I jokingly said, Violet doesn't like my preaching, you see, and she threw up straight away, no, laughing and smiling. Of course she did. Yeah, I mean, that's right. And then she said this to my daughter. She said, you know, when your father preached, she said, he always had one point. And she said, he drove it home. And she said, I always remembered it. That was one of the greatest compliments I've ever had. I've had some good ones, but that was a good one. One point, what is my point tonight? Is Jesus only. That's my point tonight. Jesus only. I don't care what condition you're in, my friend, what state. Some of you might be aching very hard. That dear brother in the hospital and his wife and family. I know the answer to them is Jesus only. It really is. That's the only one. He's the only one who can console them. He's the only one who can bring any comfort. Do Jesse at home. Burned on the stump with the tracts and leaflets. A poor Christian lacking assurance. A Christian who's afraid to die.
Don't be afraid to say it, my friend. Don't try and make a pretense. Some Christians are afraid to die. They wonder what it's going to be like. I don't know, my friend. I've got to go there myself. All I know is that Jesus said, I will never leave you. Nor forsake you. So I may boldly say, the Lord is my helper. I've got to prove it. I know. But it's not my faith. It's Jesus only. I said about hymns, I think, before, about my funeral. Well, the hymn, my children, and my, if anybody comes, that they're going to sing at my graveside. When they lower me into the ground, this is one of the verses says, this is by John James Deck. Thou hast been here, Lord Jesus. Thou hast been here, Lord Jesus. As they're lowering me in the ground, and I think they may be sorrowful, they can sing this. Thou hast been here, Lord Jesus. They can go further. Thou art even now here, Lord Jesus, for he says, I will never leave that man, nor forsake him. And even when the earth closes over me, they can still believe and know and be sure that I am taken to be with Jesus, which is better by far. What am I trying to say to you? Jesus satisfies in every condition, in every complaint, in every trouble, in every sorrow, in every difficulty. I'll have to eat my words because I don't know what tomorrow's going to bring. But I know that Jesus is sufficient. Some of you are older than me. You've been longer in the faith than me. You've proved that, haven't you? We could have a testifying meeting, couldn't we? How Jesus has comforted us, consoled us in bereavement. We've been standing at gravesides. We've said goodbye, or perhaps we haven't had a chance to say goodbye to a loved one. We've seen loved ones brought down to terrible illness. We don't know the answer, but Jesus only. Oh, unbeliever, it's Jesus only, don't you see? I don't care about your creed. I do, but I don't care about your creed. I don't care about what confession of faith you have. I don't care about what chapel or church you attend. I don't care what. It's Jesus only. What am I trying to say? Rest your soul upon Jesus. That's what these men are being told. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and you'll be saved. I'm so happy, glad, delighted to read Paul there with and Silas with the Philippian jailer. You know, what must I do to be saved? Where can I go? What can I do? Well, in some preachers, it's a proper rigmarole. Isn't it? It goes on for hours. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ, and you will be saved. I've just written something from Jonathan Edwards. Yes, some of you know Jonathan Edwards, probably one of the greatest theologians ever. It's remarkably, I don't like it, remarkable on that text. But he goes into yards and yards and yards of telling people, keep coming to chapel, say your prayers, do this, do that. It's amazing. I keep saying, well, what text is he preaching? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. Jesus only. Jesus only. There's life for a look at Jesus. Trust him. I was visiting a man Thursday. And he takes to read my books, and he said, do you want me to say, brother? He said, what am I saying? He said, I was talking to somebody about you the other day. People talk about me. And he said, he's like Ezekiel or Jeremiah, he said. He said, it's burning him, he said. And he said, your text is Christ is all, isn't it? Well, in a bad text, is it? I'll live with it. I'll take it. Is that my text? This man said, Christ is all. Colossians 3:11. And you know, I've got it again tonight then, haven't I? Jesus only. One of the hardest things I can get sinners to do is to really mean to him. I think it's, nothing in my hand I bring.
Simply to thy cross.
Yeah, I know. Is it Top Lady or is it Wesley? I forget.
Rock of Ages.
Rock of Ages, yes. But nothing in my hand I bring, because sinners want to bring something. Jesus only. The voice said, this is my beloved son. Hear him. Oh, unbeliever, listen to him. Oh, believer, listen to him. I want to listen to him. I want to look for him as I read my Bible. I want to look for him in the sermons. I want to hear him in the preaching. I want to find him in the hymn book. I want to hear Christ everywhere. He walks with me. And he talks with me. And he tells me, I am his own. And the joy we share as we tarry there, none other has ever known. What a lesson they learned that day. We were eyewitnesses of his majesty and power, yes. But I'll tell you a place where Jesus is more glorious than when he was shining as the sun. And that's when he's hanging on the cross. When the crown of thorns is upon his head, and the blood streaming down him. When he's gored and marred, that is his glory. I'm glad it says in the Revelation, when they saw Christ in his glory, I think he's in the 4th or 5th chapter, he was as a lamb that had been slain. Though he is God, he will never lose those wounds. No wonder Elijah and Moses talked with him about the death that he would accomplish. These poor disciples, you know, though, Jesus many times, Luke, I think, records, at least 6 I think, many times he said, I'm going up to Jerusalem to suffer, I'm going up to Jerusalem to suffer. And they still didn't know. They still didn't know. Do you know, I'm as daft as they are. Jesus tells me over and over again, it's all in me, you know, dear. In him my treasures all contain. Now, who wrote that? Remember that? I think that's Gatsby. In him my treasures all contain. I say to you, unbeliever, with respect, if you don't know the Lord Jesus Christ, whatever you've got, however large your bank balance, big your estate, whatever, say what you like, you can possess the whole world, but if you haven't got Jesus Christ, you've got anything. But if you have Jesus, and Jesus only, as it were, Jesus only is your hope, my only plea, I have no other advocate, I have no other plea, it is enough that Jesus died, and that he died for me. I want to encourage you, believer. I want to strengthen you against what might have to come. Circumstances might get difficult. I don't know. But whatever your circumstances, lacking assurance, doubting, fearing, whatever it is, I tell you the answer is Jesus only. I was preaching in a church this morning. The first thing I heard, I don't go there very often, somebody met me outside and told me how troubled it was and difficult and oh. So that was a good start before I started to preach. And so what would I do? If I'd known what the problem was, would I have preached a sermon addressing the problem? I would have preached exactly the same text. My text this morning was, I am the way, the truth, and the life. Why? Because that's the answer to all church problems. It's the answer to all my problems. It's the answer to this world's problems. The answer is Jesus Christ. There is no other name under heaven given among men whereby we must be saved. Islam hasn't got the answer. I know that's politically incorrect. Let them be. Say what they want. Jesus Christ only. Ah, Muhammad, he's a prophet. He may claim it. I tell you, it's Jesus only. Ah, well, you all go to the Virgin Mary. Rubbish. It's Jesus only. Ah, well, the Pope. No, no. Jesus only. Pope Francis, you go back. Jesus only, I tell you. Ah, well, I'm in the watchtower, you see. Well, you might be in the watchtower. You might have this pope and that pope. But there is only one pope. Jesus Christ only. That's my text tonight. That's my subject. Are you going to go home with it? Are you going to go home with him? Or are you going to go home saying it's Jesus only for me? And I know Jesus only will satisfy my every need. If you've never trusted him, my friend, oh, do so now. What do I have to do? Look to him, that's all. Lord, save me. Make it Jesus only for me. And he will. And if you know it, go home rejoicing, my friend, for it is Jesus only. Of course, they came down. They'd go back to the athletic boy and all the troubles. Yes, they came down. But they knew something now. It was Jesus only. Let us go back to our life now, knowing it's Jesus only.